Friday month.
Hey, welcome again to No Streams, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. Ian, I am Mike Damon. I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for joining me again for another episode. I really do appreciate all of your contributions and comments and everything put together. I really, really do appreciate. Well, for this week, I am going to be talking to a special talented someone in Nigeria, of course. She's a female. Yeah, she first came out of the closet on CNN while still in Nigeria. Such courage, you say. Well, the conversation is going to officially kickstart and then I'll finally come back to talk with her. Don't go anywhere because you don't want to miss. No Strings will, you know, of course, be right back after this.
He can be your best friend. You're alive. Someone you can talk to. He's my Damon.
You're listening to No Strings.
Welcome back to No Strings. No Strings is Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. Ian, I am Mike Damon. Now, before we went on the recess, I said we were going to talk to a special someone, and that special person is Adejoke Tubeyele. Please, let's welcome her to the show. She sure deserves it. Yeah, yeah. It's not every day you get to talk to wonderful people. Well, I want to say thank you so much, Adejoke, for gracing No Strings. You're welcome to No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBT podcast. I know you must be really proud of this, and I'm so happy that you took out the time to actually be a part of this. It's indeed a pleasure to have you on No Strings. Now, my listeners would like to know you. Can you tell us a little about you? Please, tell us.
Thank you for having me, Mike. I'm honored to be a guest on your groundbreaking podcast. It has very strong potential of becoming a vital tool for so many in Nigeria's LGBT community. I am the only daughter of Nigerian parents. Being the middle child, I have one senior and one junior brother. My paternal grandfather had two wives, and each of them had more than five children. So I come from a fairly large extended family. The first person in my family to come to the U.S. was one of my late uncles, who I actually called Grandpa. He studied at Harvard University in the 1950s and completed his master's thesis in 1956. It was called The Emergence of Nationalism and Federalism in Nigeria. I have an original copy of this book and I read it often because it talks about the foundations of democracy for a country that was still under colonial rule at the time.
Okay, how was your growing up like? Where did you grow up? And did you grow up a regular person or there was something particularly special about your childhood? Please tell us.
I was born in Brooklyn, New York, but at the age of three, I was taken to Lagos, Nigeria, where I lived for 7 years. This was during the military dictatorship in the 80s, before my family eventually moved back to New York. In Lagos, I attended the Fountain School as a little girl, and then went on to Maryland Convent Private School in Ikeja. It's a private Catholic school, but I went to Yaba Baptist Church with my family every Sunday. I finished primary five there, but never went on to boarding school in Nigeria. Part of my childhood was spent living with my uncle, his wife, and children. One traumatic memory I have that stayed with me all my life is when my late uncle's house accidentally caught fire. It happened in the middle of the night, so my brother and I were actually sleeping at the time. My auntie ran out through the fire, grabbed us from our beds, and then out of the building. Unfortunately, she was left with third and fourth degree burns all over her body. She saved our lives, and I am so grateful. The Babangida years were tough in Nigeria, but despite the troubles going on, my Lagos years were mostly pretty innocent. My parents were very protective of me, and my siblings and everyone in our community kept a close watch on us. As kids, we were so inventive without computers and constant television, coming up with our own games. Another fond memory I have is making kites out of traditional brooms and newspapers. Ironically, I still work with these materials in my art practice today. At the age of 7, I also helped form a creative youth organization called Children's Cooperative Club. We called it CCC for short. This was in Yaba with my brothers and a few best friends with whom I am still very close today.
Well, you had quite a memorable childhood, I would say. I would want you to create an image with words because I want my listeners to intensely connect with you and your story. So what was it like in your house? Did you grow up with mom, dad or both? Or maybe a relative or grandmother or say just someone? Just take us in, please.
In Nigeria, I was raised mostly by my father and several aunts and uncles. My mother came to visit every now and then, but she was mainly based in the U.S. We didn't have a telephone at home, so my father would periodically drive my senior brother and I to Sheraton Hotel in Lagos to call my mom in America. My mom also sent us things from America all the time, like videos, baggy jeans, and stuff. I never felt uncared for as a child because, in addition to my dad, I had several wonderful aunties and uncles as guardians. They all stressed education, a connection with God, and encouraged me to be the best I can be. We had houseboys and housegirls to help us with house chores. A man by the name of Friday, or was it Saturday actually? He used to come once a week to iron our school uniforms and my father's clothes. Whoever the house help was at the time, well, they came and went for different reasons, would also cook and clean. This didn't mean that I was exempt from my own chores. I had a good set of them myself. After all, I had to be properly prepared for marriage.
Yeah, true. You know, most people think Nigeria is extremely homophobic due to its, you know, being tagged a Christian nation. And the popular notion held by many Nigerians that homosexuality is un-African and alien to the African culture. And I understand that you're not in Nigeria, so how's life outside Nigeria? Is it any easier?
I don't really think I agree with the notion that Nigeria is extremely homophobic. In fact, I don't think anyone really knows. I'm a member of an organization in Nigeria called Solidarity Alliance for Human Rights. And one of the member organizations, TEARS, which stands for the Initiative for Equal Rights, partnered with Solidarity Alliance actually a year ago. It was May 2014. They partnered to conduct a survey to find out about attitudes and perceptions towards homosexuality in Nigeria. And the survey was aimed at Nigerians mostly, and actually only, and it was entirely anonymous. I believe it's still ongoing and can be found under the TEARS website, so I encourage you and your listeners to check it out. I applaud all these efforts because they stay away from the propaganda that is being spewed at the pulpits by religious clergy and conservative government forces that actually just want to maintain the status quo. Life in America is certainly easier for me politically. However, the emotional struggles of alienation and exile from family are still something I struggle with daily. Nigerians in the U.S. still think largely like those back home, and so I had to burden the same emotional and sometimes physical traumas like depression, suicidal thoughts, and so on. Yes, the U.S. has social structures like free counseling to help, but these counseling sessions, they are sometimes delivered mostly from a Western perspective. And so it was hard for me to relate their advice to my own personal family issues. Unfortunately, the counseling by anyone other than the priest or pastor is still generally frowned upon by Nigerians, which makes a situation that's already hard even harder to cope with. I would advise those who think homosexuality is un-African to read a new book that was just released and co-written by my friend and journalist, Steve Aborisade. It's called Guidebook to Reporting Gender and Sexuality in Nigeria. and part of the book mentions several African cultures in which homosexuality was not only practiced, but tolerated, and in some cases deemed sacred by the society members.
Yeah, I think I mentioned that book in one of my episodes. Tell me about your relocation from Nigeria. What prompted it? Please, I would need all the drama, that is, if there was any, because I suspect there must be some. Mm-hmm.
I traveled to Nigeria in 2013 on a Fulbright research grant. I wanted to experience Lagos as an independent adult without parental and family pressures. I also wanted to see how art and spirituality were interacting with each other. And I also wanted to find other people like me. Gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgendered persons of Nigerian descent. I wanted to see how they were generally coping with life and family issues. Were they like me? Were they different? I did make several friends with people in the gay and lesbian community, and I participated in a few events as well. One of them was the screening of this film called Veil of Silence by Habib Lawal. Many human rights advocates came together to demystify ideas about homosexuality in Nigeria. I actually recorded the entire question and answer session on video, and it has helped inform my life personally as well as my art practice. Mm-hmm. I got a deeper understanding of the level of secrecy one must live with as a gay Nigerian, as well as all the taboos that exist. It was a very historic session, and I was so excited to be there for it. About 3 months into my stay, the anti-gay bill was signed. This was on January 7th, 2014. It was one of the most frightening moments of my life, because immediately afterwards, we started hearing stories of people being killed and attacked by mobs. People were outing each other to the police for money, or gay people outing their friends out of fear of who would out each other first. A newspaper article I read was titled that the homosexuality bill was actually the best gift the president could ever give Nigerians.
Imagine.
And other scary headlines surfaced. I still have all the newspaper clippings. Then, for some reason, I was contacted and sought out by this correspondent at CNN called Vladimir Dutierz. He wanted to conduct an interview with a lesbian currently living in Nigeria at the outbreak of the law. They also interviewed a friend of mine who was working at Tears by the name of Michael Akonji. I actually didn't think twice about saying yes, because I felt this was the reason I came to Nigeria in the first place. To work and do research and live as a free, openly gay person in the land of my ancestors. My leave was prompted by my opening up about my sexuality on international media, after which I was advised by several people, both in my personal and professional circle, to leave the country, because should anything happen, I would have no protection. I listened to all of them and I left.
Well, you took, it was really courageous for you to actually come out on public television, CNN. Has there been any regrets since you left?
I have never intentionally disappointed anyone simply by choosing to live my truth. I blame the disappointment felt by my family on the brainwashing caused by both African and non-African religious fanatics and conservative politicians who are still largely ignorant on the subject and also completely intolerant to other definitions of love. With all the information out there today, some Nigerians willfully choose to remain ignorant, and this is probably the most baffling thing to me still. I will say, however, that the shock of my coming out was partly due to my family getting used to seeing me as a married woman for almost 7 years, without me leaving any clues whatsoever about struggles I was having with my sexuality. It's only fair then that I give them time to heal as well, because for Nigerians, marriage is not just between the couple. It involves the entire family as well as the extended family.
Yeah, that's true. Really true. Really true. Ignorance. That's noted. I think many Nigerians are willfully ignorant. I agree with you. And also, I think one of the contributing factors to this is because some Nigerians are not open-minded. If not a whole lot of them, they are not open-minded. And also, I think as a result, it has led to the increase in the homophobic condition we have in Nigeria today. And also, you mentioned about you've been married for 7 years. Wow, that's huge, pretty huge. I would have loved to hear more on that, but obviously we do not have the time, so I have to stick to what I have. Let's proceed now to the next line of question. Do you miss those good old days?
Yes, I miss really good times with my family. Things haven't been the same since I came out to them. But gradually our communication has improved because deep down we know we still love each other. My sexuality and whoever I'm partnered with is still generally not a topic of conversation. I think there's this intense fear that I will quote-unquote poison children, which of course is ridiculous. So there isn't just emotional pain, there's also physically a split lifestyle that I have to live. But I've come to terms with it as part of the burden I have to bear as long as I need to.
Wow, I'm sure a whole lot of people can actually relate to that. Let's move on. When did you first realize you were different? Was it when you were a lot younger or later in life when you were a bit older? Please tell us.
I was 17 years old when I understood that I had a crush on another woman.
17?
It was very intense and hard to understand or vocalize what I was feeling. I was confused and asked myself, what's happening to me? Feelings I never thought were possible suddenly emerged inside me and wouldn't leave. Young at mind and without any support or anyone to talk to, I convinced myself that the emotions I felt were completely unnatural, and I forced myself to repress those feelings, to get over her, and I went on to dating boys like I had been doing previously. I met a remarkable man when I was in architecture school, and we eventually got married. I was happy. At least I thought I was happy until a few years into my marriage when all those emotions came back stronger. Oh. I was in my late 20s and once again I became confused, depressed, and for the first time I started considering committing suicide. But I was taught also that suicide was a sin. So then I attempted to live a double life, dating women while still being married to a man.
Oh.
I call this the curse of being an architect. This quote-unquote solution helped me to avoid facing my family for a few years. I gained significant weight and consumed quite a lot of alcohol during this period. I was unstable and hurt many people in my life, including my husband, who I know loved me very dearly. I eventually fell deeply in love with a woman who could not stand the arrangement that I had going on, and she rightfully kicked me out of her life. At that point, I hit the lowest I had ever felt emotionally, and I remember being stuck in bed for about 2 weeks straight. Instead of coming out of the closet then, I decided once again to give up women entirely and live some kind of straight life. My husband seemed happy. I got pregnant. But 4 months into my pregnancy, I had a miscarriage due to the presence of large fibroids in my body.
Whoa.
I was so disconnected to my body then that I didn't realize I was even carrying fibroids. So I had to undergo surgery immediately after losing my child. Upon leaving the hospital, I said to myself, Ade, you better leave your husband and come out of the closet. I still believe today that the child died to save my life. I'm now divorced, but my ex-husband and I remain very good friends, as we always had been. I'm very grateful for that. In fact, some of the friends of my past who knew me then as a very good person are still with me today, and I'm grateful to them as well.
Oh, Thank you once again, Ade, for sharing that experience with us. I'm sure people get to learn a thing or two from your experience. Now, did you first come out on CNN or you came out to your family first?
I came out to my family first in New York. I was already living my life as an out lesbian woman for about 3 years before I came out on CNN.
Okay, okay. How did your family take it? I mean, if you ever told them about your intention to come out publicly on CNN, what was their response? Did they try to discourage you or they were all negative about it? So just tell us, please.
My family did not take the news well at all. My parents were shocked and angry. First of all, it was already a radical move to mention that I was getting a divorce. Talk less of admitting to being a lesbian. Some family members told me that my decision meant that I had chosen death over life. Others said that I should have just stayed in the closet, or that I should have never been brought to America in the first place, or that I should have waited till my parents died before choosing to live a life of freedom. This was their reaction, so I didn't need to discuss my decision to come out on CNN with anyone in my family, clearly. I consider myself an artist, but also an activist, which means that I act based on strong values and principles around what I believe is the truth and what I believe is justice, not according to other people's expectations. I'd like to say that the younger people in my family have been a lot more supportive to different degrees, which is not surprising. And this gives me hope that Nigeria's future is bright when it comes to treating LGBT people equally and fairly under the law.
Oh, so true, Ade. So true. There's this notion that people have the ability to alter their sexual orientation. This in plain terms means that people can decide to switch their sexual orientation if they so desire. So, do you agree with this? And would you say that yours was just all natural, or you decided to, let me use the word, switch?
Inside the letters LGBTQ is the letter B, which stands for bisexual. It means that human beings have the capacity to love equally members of the same and opposite sex. We also use the word queer more frequently now, which has come to be understood as someone who is generally open and fluid in their love relationships and don't want to be tied down to any of the labels that society has created. Oftentimes, the labels gay and lesbian do a disservice to understanding the true fluid nature of human beings. Everything I have done in my life has felt natural at the time that I did it. When it begins to feel unnatural, I take it as my responsibility to put myself in a healthier situation. Whatever that is called is up to others, I guess.
Humans have the ability to love equally. Thank you, Ade, for bringing clarity to that. Do you consider yourself a happy person? Defining this in your own terms, of course, just to reflect your own definition of the word, because I know most people have their own definition of the word.
I consider myself a healthy and balanced individual. And yes, with good health comes happiness. This does not mean I don't love and miss my family or the way I grew up. But at this stage of my life, it's not worth sacrificing my health and my own personal happiness for the happiness of others. Anyone who truly loves you and I will want us to be happy.
Now, how do you deal with the hate, homophobia of course, and discrimination?
I find like-minded people who love me unconditionally to surround myself with. Others in the gay community who share my experiences or who can enrich my life with their own experiences. It is so important to know that at all times you are not alone. It doesn't feel like that most of the time. It can be depressing, but it's not the reality. There are so many out there dealing with discrimination, so it's important to have spiritual grounding, a community of people like you, and find either small or large ways to speak up whenever possible. This beautiful podcast you have created is part of that wave.
Thank you so much, Adejoke, for sharing that. and of course for actually telling me that. So it's good to actually hear it from other people. Now, have you ever been abused verbally or physically attacked or escaped an impending attack, citing your sexual orientation as the cause?
I have never been physically attacked. However, I was verbally abused by some friends and family members when I first came out. I know it was coming from shock and anger. One of my friends actually told me a story of how he had beaten someone up in Nigeria when he was younger, who had shown signs of being gay. I took that as a threat and kept my distance from him from that point on. After coming out on CNN in Nigeria, I got several death threats online via social media. My story was published on Linda Ikeji's blog, and the comments were extremely harsh and demonizing. The whole episode revealed how ignorant the average Nigerian is around issues of homosexuality.
Mm. Are you religious, and what religion do you identify with, if you are? Because I know most LGBT persons talk entirely being religious because that they feel that they've been abandoned by their creator. Are you actively religious? Do you feel the same?
I was raised a Christian and always went to church with my family, but I don't see religion in the same way that I did when I was younger. Today, I have come to see the Bible as a tool like any other. It can be used for good or used for bad. I agree with a lot of the teachings in the Bible, but I don't hold it as a sacred text anymore because I've seen it used to cause innocent people harm. I now view my relationship with God as a personal one, not dictated by how other people interpret the scripture. In fact, there are many gay priests and pastors now who live their lives openly and without fear, and they use the Bible to encourage others in the community. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, so true. So how's life with you now? I trust you're doing well and at peace with yourself, are you?
I can't be fully at peace because so many of my gay brothers and sisters are still living with pain due to lack of freedom. Some close friends of mine are even suffering from HIV/AIDS, and they struggle to get medication ever since the signing of the anti-gay bill in Nigeria. The bill also criminalizes organizations that supply medicines to gay people living with AIDS. This is so evil and unfair, and in fact, I would go as far as to call it a death sentence. So no, I'm not at peace, but this inspires me to keep speaking up until there's a change, and I encourage more people to do so. Many voices are needed in this battle.
Yeah, valid point. So true at DJK. Yeah. That's why I encourage people to come onto No Strings and tell their stories, and let's join, let's come together and, you know, and try to talk. I'm sure people are listening. Of course, even people outside the LGBT community are listening to as well. So let's put our voices together and really, you know, get to, talk our issues, of course. Is there anything like a change or conversion therapy, and does it even work?
The whole idea of conversion therapy is ridiculous, and whoever thought of it was most likely someone living in intense fear and denial about their own sexuality. I wouldn't doubt that conversion therapy has also become a good way to make money. As you and I know, in Nigeria, everything is business. As far as the church, pastors now have a reason, justified by the government, to seek tithes for conversion prayers, robbing people of their tender souls for personal enrichment. This is disgusting.
Now, some people consider homosexuality as a natural, and as a result, compare it to dangerous habits like, say, smoking and alcohol overuse, or say, an addiction. What's your take on this?
This is another senseless point. Sex, in general, whether straight or gay, can become addictive. Similarly, straight and gay people can have sex in moderation. To tag gay people as the ones who are addicted to sex is nothing but pure discrimination and plain ignorance.
Yeah, totally true. So what is your general advice to LGBT Nigerians out there who are struggling so hard with their sexuality and wishing they could change.
Honor the person God made you and be proud of who you are. Find a safe and quiet space that's just for you and no one else. It could be a physical or virtual place, just somewhere that allows your inner voice to shout loud and be free. Educate yourself so you can speak with authority to those who may be open to learning but still don't know what to think. Don't just spew out rubbish because it's not going to help us. Also, strategize a long-term plan on how to become economically independent using legal and just methods, so that you can gain the freedom to do whatever you want. A lot of powerful people looking down and judging you from the top are probably gay too, but they can hide behind their wealth as one would put on a mask. Homosexuality knows no race, class, or religion. It's just as normal on this earth as the dirt on the ground and the sun in the sky. Finally, I'd like to say there's a new resource that's now available to LGBT Nigerians. It's called Is Anyone in Africa? IAIA. And it's a good resource, especially for those living with HIV/AIDS. The website is isanyoneinafrica.com. I encourage you to check it out.
Thank you so much, Adejoke Tubeyele, for actually sharing your experience on the podcast. I am so happy. I'm so excited to have you come on No Strings, or Grace in No Strings, of course. Also, for you out there who've been able to stay through and listen, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you. And now, I have also observed that most of us visit the website and do not subscribe. Please do subscribe so you can follow up on No Strings for new episodes. Of course, if you think that you're missing out on some episodes, you could always go to the website www.nostringspodcast.wordpress.com to download them. It's always there, available there. Yeah. Now, of course, the conversation doesn't stop here. You can follow No Strings using at NS Podcast 1. Now, if you have anything you want to talk about, you can also email No Strings, of course, using info@nostringspodcast.zerofees.us. Now, of course, No Strings needs your support to grow stronger and build a better platform that would, of course, be able to channel our voices out there to the world. So I cannot do this alone, so I need your support. If you think you want to support anything at all, it's appreciated. You can do so using the contact information I provided earlier in the show. I would say bye-bye now until next week when I come your way again with another exciting episode. Of course, I get to talk to Adejoke Tubeyele as she's going for an art exhibition. She's going to tell us everything about that. But for now, bye-bye. See you next week.
This is a No Strings, Nigeria's first LGBTIQ podcast with Mike Damon.